Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 8, while I open us up in prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you for these wonderful praise reports that we heard tonight. I thank you, Father God, that you are moving in and through our nation to bring forth change, true change, bringing forth a standard of righteousness across our land. Something we can be proud of, something that will enable us to be a beacon of light into all the nations. I thank you, Father God. I thank you. I thank you for those praise reports. I thank you, Lord. Tonight, Lord, as we begin to get into your word, as we discuss the issues that you've placed on my heart for tonight, Lord God, I pray that you would open up our hearts, open up our minds, open up our spirits, Lord God, that we can receive of your word, that we can be receptive to the things you're wanting to do within us today. You've been pouring over my spirit all day long with this, Lord God. Help me to convey your heart. Help me, Lord God. Help me. Quiet and settle things around us so that we can receive of your word tonight. So that tonight, Lord God, you can penetrate our hearts and do what you're wanting to do in our lives. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you for your presence. I thank you. In your precious and most holy name, Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen. So we've been talking about the sons of God, the manifestation of the sons of God. Why? Because it's coming. Are you going to be among them? Have you been listening? Have you been seeking the Lord on the issues? Have you been pressing in to him to ensure you will be among those when the manifestation of the sons of God come forth? It will be powerful. It will be powerful, and we will be on our faces before God as he releases his presence in this earth. And then we shall rise up and carry out his call. It's going to be a shift in our earth. And I want to share a few things with you tonight because this is heavy on my heart today. I want to remind you of the vision that I read to you a couple weeks ago. Tommy Hicks' vision from 1961 about the revival that would sweep across the earth, about the manifestation of the sons of God. See, what he wrote about then was the manifestation of the sons of God coming forth in this earth. And I want to touch on a couple things. I want to remind you the purpose here. This is the season, the year of refining, bringing forth a new breed of believers. That new breed of believers will carry a mantle unlike anything that's been released in the earth before. They will walk in new places in God because they have pressed in and gone through the refining of the Lord God. We've talked about the refining this year, and that's not so much, and we've talked about God's got to work out the ick, get the garbage out of us. But when he refines us, what he's doing is proving what is good. He's burning off the dross and proving what is good within us. That which remains in us as we go through the refining. You see, the refiners get rid of the stuff that has no value. Am I right? And they retain and they use that which is the most valuable.
this is where we are today. We're in the refiner's fire, and it's hot and it's difficult, but there is something beautiful and glorious coming at the end of this path. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself shall also be delivered from bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. This word, children of God, it's technon. This is fully dependent. Fully dependent on God. The manifestation of the sons of God is going to reveal people who are fully dependent on God, who rely on him, who trust in him. Their faith is in him. Their joy is in him. Their strength is in him. We are fully 100% dependent on God. My daughter gave birth this week. The day before Independence Day, my daughter gave birth. And I was there, and I'm blessed to be able to be present for my grandchildren's birth. And as that little man came into this earth, I watched with awe. I watched as he came out and he was laid upon his mother's chest. I watched his father look down upon his son. They have girls, by the way, before this. I watched my son-in-law look down on his son with so much pride. And I don't mean like that really bad pride. I mean like that, this is my son. That little boy had done nothing wrong. That little boy was as innocent could be. He was seconds from the womb. Seconds outside the womb. And that father looked down at his son in awe. It was a beautiful, beautiful moment to witness. I watched this little man, tiny, tiny, tiny thing. I watched him as his parents took care of him, as the nurse grabbed him and took him over to see how much he weighed, and they did all the little stuff that they do and brought him back to his parents. And I saw this new life who came into the earth 100% dependent on his parents for his very life. For warmth, for nutrition, to stay clean, to stay safe. Everything this little man needs has to come from his parents. He is wholly dependent on his parents for his life, and he will be that way for some time. I thought about that as far as the manifestation of the sons of God and where God is taking us as his children. You see, he's growing us up in him. We are maturing in him, but we're maturing in the spirit. We're coming to a place where our spirits are being strengthened, where our spirit man is getting stronger and stronger and stronger, and our will is getting weaker and weaker and weaker. When our spirit man gets stronger, our dependence on God grows to a level that is almost immeasurable. Because everything that we do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, must be done to bring honor to that name. The deeper we go in God, the more we grow in the Spirit, the greater our work must honor the living God. We are dependent on Him for directives. We are dependent on Him for strength. We are dependent upon Him for wisdom. We are dependent on Him for divine revelation. And in the days ahead, we'll need all of this to survive. I talked before about Tommy Hicks' vision and how they would go into the dark places unafraid. Through the crowds, through the mobs, unafraid. Why? Because the Lord would have told them to go there. They are wholly dependent on their God in all that they do. This is where He's bringing us, wholly dependent on Him. Many of you know we have our ministry outreach, Cedarwood, and that ministry outreach serves roughly 80 families every single week. That 80 families, that they all have family members that we serve. So we serve upwards of 260 to 300 family members every single week in our pantry. We also serve homeless on the streets, 70 to 80 homeless people living on the streets, living in their cars, living in tents every week. We also serve children, backpack kids who live in one of the most poverty-stricken areas in one of the wealthiest states in the nation. That's what Cedarwood does. And a while ago, the Lord had us do a six-month provisioning. And when I was up in Seattle a few months ago, the Lord said, it's time to release the provisioning. I said, Lord, we're not in crisis. He said, it's time to release the provisioning. I said, but Lord, we're not in crisis. So aren't we saving that for the time of crisis? He said, it's time to release the provisioning. I want you wholly dependent on me. The Lord told me there will be a season of time that we go through. He will multiply what we have. He will provide. He knows the hundreds of people who rely on us every single week to meet their basic need, food. Food. Many of us take that for granted. We just go to our refrigerator, our cupboards, the food's right there. We run out, we go to the store. Food. And they need that food. They have growing children. We provide meat and dairy products, whole grains. Most of the food that we provide is organic. Because the Lord told us, just because they live in poverty doesn't mean you treat them like they live in poverty. Give them the very best. And that's what we do. And the Lord provides. We pay our staff, but most of that food is donated. That's how God is. He's providing for His children, utterly dependent on God. And He said, there will be a day I will provide. You will go to the bucket and pull out that last cup of oats, and I will fill that bucket back up. Trust me. If I can feed the 5,000 with a couple of fish and some loaves of bread brought by a little boy, do you don't think I can feed these hundreds? And the hundreds more that will come, because your place will be one of the only place who has food when crisis hits? Wholly dependent on God. That's where He's calling His children. That's the manifestation of God within His sons. Do you see that? The manifestation of God comes through His children. We are the manifestation of the living God in the earth. Our presence, the manifestation of God's presence, His character in our lives, brings forth healing in the earth. As we share the gospel, it brings forth healing in the body as we pray for the sick. And it brings forth basic needs as we provide for those who are in need. God manifested through His children. He's training us. As Fred says, training for reigning. He's training us to rise up into the next level in God, which requires an even greater dependence on Him, like my new grandson, utterly dependent upon his parents for his every need. That's where He's calling us. The more dependent we are on Him, the more He deposits Himself in us, because that's how He works. This morning I woke to a vision. I use this software when I do my Bible study. And on the screen was their website, and I typed in character of God, because I've been thinking about that. The children of God, the sons of God, will demonstrate the character of God, right? I mean, we look at our children and we watch them. I told you last week, I look at my grandchildren, I watch them kind of demonstrate the character traits of their parents. You know, they want to be like their parents. You know, until they're teenagers, and then they don't want to be anything like their parents. But while they're young, they want to be like their parents. So they sit like them. They walk like them. They hold their feet like them. They hold their cups like their parents. They demonstrate these physical character traits of their parents. And the sons of God will demonstrate the character of God. That's what we do. Because we're sons of God. But when I looked up and I woke up and to this vision, and it startled me, you know, because, you know, first thing you think, did I fall asleep doing my Bible study? Did I fall asleep in the Word? You know, no. But the screen was there. And in the search, it says, character of God, but beneath it, there was nothing. And it weighed on me. I got up immediately, and I did a search to see, is there really nothing there on the character of God? And there is. There is. And so I began to just meditate on this. What does this mean, Lord? What does this mean? Why did I awaken to this? He said, because the church doesn't understand my character. They don't have the resources. They don't have within them. They don't have within their minds. They don't have within their hearts right now. They don't have an understanding of my character for them. My character. The Father's heart for them. The character of God. He said, and I'm about to release the sons of God, and they will flow and demonstrate my character in the earth. And that is what will draw all men into me. Because they will see my character oozing from my sons. As they walk across this earth, they will see it. Remember the vision that I shared, Tommy Hicks' vision. Remember that figure that was in the earth from the top of the earth down to the bottom. The head was at the North Pole. No, the head was at the South Pole. The feet were at the North Pole. And it was dark. And it tried to get up. It tried to get up. And as it tried to get up, it fought. And all of these dark creatures were crawling all over it. And it fought. It wrestled. It wrestled. Until finally it collapsed back into the earth. And these creatures climbed back over it. You see, there's been darkness over the church. It's kept the character of God hidden. There's been darkness over the church for so long. But if you remember correctly, in that moment, the appointed time, slowly, all of a sudden, this great giant lifted his hands toward heaven. Let me go up one more paragraph. I could see his head was struggling for life. He wanted to live, but his body was covered with debris from head to foot. And at times, this great giant would move his body to act as though it would even raise up at times. And when it did, thousands of little creatures seemed to run away. Hideous creatures would run away from this giant. And when he would become calm, they would come back. All of a sudden, this great giant lifted his hands toward heaven, and then it lifted its other hand. And when it did, these creatures by the thousands seemed to flee away from the giant and go into the darkness of the night. Slowly, this great giant began to rise, and as he did, his head and hands went into the clouds. As he rose to his feet, he seemed to have cleansed himself from the debris and the filth that was upon him. And he began to raise his hands into the heavens as though praising the Lord. And as he raised his hands, they went even unto the clouds. This right here is what we're about to witness. When the body rises up and begins to praise the Lord God Almighty, when the move of God begins to come forth and we raise our hands and we begin to praise the Lord Almighty, you should remember, in a moment, he began, as he worshiped God, from the clouds became silver, and from the clouds suddenly there came great drops of liquid light raining down upon this mighty giant. And slowly, this giant began to melt, began to sink itself into the very earth itself. And as he melted, his whole form seemed to have melted upon the face of the earth. And this great rain began to come down. Liquid drops of light began to flood the very earth itself. And as I watched this giant that seemed to melt, suddenly it became millions of people all over the face of the earth. And as I beheld the sight before me, people stood up all around the world. They were lifting their hands and they were praising the Lord. They were lifting their hands and they were praising the Lord. You see, the body of Christ is going through a cleansing right now. That's what's taking place. That's the refining. We're going through a cleansing. So that when we rise, our only focus is the Lord God Almighty, and we raise our hands toward heaven, and we worship Him. We worship Him. We go to Him, and we get our answers. We go to Him, and we get our provision. And from there, we become vessels of light, and we go out into the earth, and we do what He has created us to do. Vessels of light, bringing healing to the earth. Vessels of light, bringing healing. How do we bring healing? We demonstrate the character of God. One who demonstrates the character of God truly can demonstrate the character of God is one that has died to self and lived to Christ. One who is flowing in the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is not something we can manifest. I shared this with you a couple of months ago. We cannot even manifest the fruit of the Spirit. It's the work of the Spirit of God in us, refining us so that we can demonstrate the Spirit of God. Love, joy, peace, patience. All of it. Meekness, gentleness, long-suffering, faith, temperance. We cannot, in our own strength, demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. Why? It is a product of the Holy Spirit's presence in us. As sons of God, demonstrating, revealing the character of God, we will demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. It's not something we'll have to work for. It's not something that we'll have to get up every day and say, okay, Lord, please give me love, joy, peace, patience. Wait, there's a song that goes through all those nine gifts. Wait, okay, the fruits. No, that's not the gifts. It's the fruit. There's a song. Help me, Lord. We won't have to do that because our focus is so deep in God. So deeply rooted in God. That what comes out of us is fruit demonstrating His presence in our lives. The nutrients comes from Him. The fruit is a product of His work in us. Him flowing through His sons, bringing forth healing into the earth. As the sons of God begin to rise, it's going to clean up the church. You see, the world doesn't even know where to go because there is so much corruption in the church. So much corruption. They see no difference between their office and the church they go to on Sunday. Why bother? I can just sleep in. That's not what the church is to be. The church is to be a place that we go to get nourished, that we go to nourish others, that we reap and we sow, and it's a beautiful fragrance unto the Lord. And it draws all men to Him, Him, our God. As I thought about that vision that I woke up to this morning, and I really pondered it, it weighed heavy on me. I said, Lord, how is it the church can be in existence for 2,000 years and they don't know and understand your character? I'm about to release it. Joel 2 says, this will be the latter in the former rain. We will be receive a double portion. A double portion of what they received 2,000 years ago in the book of Acts. We're about to see it again, and we need to carry it to the finish line. Carry it to the finish line. You want to know what the character of God is? It was demonstrated when He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for us. Hebrews chapter 1, Paul writes, God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He's talking about his son. We want to know about the character of God, know who Jesus is and what he did, know what he did on this earth, know how he served the people, know how he demonstrated the passion of God, know how he demonstrated the love of God to every single person who would listen. He met their every need. Just like that baby, he met their every need. He fed them when they needed to be fed. He gave them physical food. He gave them spiritual food. He trained them up so that they might stand strong when he departed. And then he brought forth the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit is the breath of God in our lives. The Holy Spirit is the breath of God in our lives. As I meditated on this today, and I just said, Lord, 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 how do we demonstrate? How do we walk in this? And he showed me this field, and the grass was really, really tall. It was like 3 feet tall. And he showed me this field, and the wind was blowing, and it was blowing to the right and to the left and forward and backward, and the grass would just flow in this wind. And he said, you're to be like a blade of grass, and when my breath, my Holy Spirit just blows, you need to blow with me. You need to be so willing to move that there's nothing in the way, nothing hindering, nothing restricting. Nothing stopping the move of the Holy Spirit through your life because you have submitted your all and all to me. You've submitted your all and all to me, and you blow to and fro as I guide you. That is trust. That newborn babe trusts its parents. He has no reason not to. We are to trust our God because we know him. We trust him. We have so absorbed who he is through a study of his word, through prayer, that in our time of prayer, in our time in the Word, the refining work is taking place. And what's left is a vessel of light that he can use. And we will manifest the character of God in the earth. We have been called to demonstrate the character of God. We have. That's what we've been created for. God is love. 1 John 4. God is love. Acts tells us God is the knower of hearts. He knows our hearts. He is holy. We read that several times in the book of Romans. He is holy. Jesus prayed, John 17, sanctify them. Sanctify them. Even as he is holy, we are to be holy. We have been created to demonstrate the character of God in the earth. That's our purpose. I want to close with this, 1 Thessalonians 5. Paul is writing to the Thessalonians because trouble's a mess. And Paul does a beautiful job in his writings. I'm sure he would appreciate that compliment, right? But Paul does a beautiful job because he always gives the gospel message for those, because these were read before the churches. He always gives the gospel message for those who are new. He always gives sound doctrine. He corrects errors. He brings truth and light where there's deception. And he gives them instructions for living a holy life. That's what Paul does in his letters. He always does it. So after he's dealt with a few things, he's giving several instructions. Verse 15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything giving thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the scripture that stood out in me today when I read this is, quench not the spirit. If we want to be among the sons of God when they're manifested, if we want to be the vessels of light, if we want to be in that field blowing to and fro with the breath of God, we've got to stop stifling the Spirit of God. We've got to flow with Him. Don't stop His Spirit as it flows through you. He wants to teach us how to flow in the Spirit. How do we do that? Prayer in the Word. When we stop the Spirit from moving, we stop the Spirit in our lives. It's like taking a lawnmower across that field. Cutting the blades down, you know what has to happen? That grass has to grow back up. But 2-3 feet tall, so the wind can begin to blow. Don't quench His Spirit. When we don't obey Him, we quench the Spirit. When we don't show love, we quench the Spirit. When we don't demonstrate the character of God, we quench the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit of God. He's working in us. That's why He's speaking to us more and more and more. He wants to see if we'll obey. Will we be the vessels of light? Will we obey His voice? Can we come to a place of such absolute and utter dependence on the Holy Spirit, like a newborn babe to his parents? Can we come to that place where we are so utterly dependent upon Him that we can go into the dark alley and He will tell us to go to the right or go to the left, and we will listen? And we will be kept safe. We can only be kept safe if we will obey. He can't use us in that manner if we haven't allowed Him to fill every part of who we are, depositing Himself within us. this is where we're going. Are you ready? Are you preparing yourself? Are you preparing yourself? It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. He is coming. Heavenly Father, I look at that screen that I woke with this morning, and I see the deposits. As your children step into that place, demonstrating the character of God, I see the references coming up. I see the references showing up on that screen, Lord God, as they demonstrate your love, as they demonstrate your servanthood, as they demonstrate, Lord God, your passion. I see it, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you that you love us enough to prepare us to be among those who will be released, the new breed of believers, the sons of God, the vessels of your light. Thank you. Thank you for preparing us. Thank you. Thank you. This morning when we were in prayer, our staff was in prayer, the Lord told me he was going to put new mantles on. And it wasn't just our staff, but it was new mantles were about to be placed on the intercessors. It's out of necessity to pray through what we need to pray through. But start asking him for your mantle and help you. Ask him to help you use that mantle for his kingdom. I thank you, Lord, for those that are on the line and those that will listen later. I thank you. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for the intimacy that you bring. I thank you for the way you are manifesting yourself to each one of us. I thank you. I thank you, Lord. In your precious and most holy name, I pray. Amen.